You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
It's the show that goes around the horn with your Minnesota Twins, with insight from the decision makers in the dugout and in the front office. It's Inside Twins. Inside Twins is sponsored by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
Welcome to Inside Twins. Normally, this is the first leg of a extended relay race. We move on to the pregame lineup card and then on to baseball. There will be no baseball today. The Twins and the Guardians have been postponed due to poor weather here in the Twin Cities. This will be made up as part of a split doubleheader Friday, August 9th. I'm expecting warmer temperatures on Friday, August 9th. It'll be a 1:10 start to make up for this ballgame and then the regularly scheduled 7:10. And by August 9th, boy, Twins, Guardians, these teams could look a whole lot different. So Twins, Guardians postponed today. That is first and foremost. That doesn't mean we can't talk some baseball and learn some stuff from the president of baseball operations, Derek Falvey, kind enough to stick around before fleeing the rain for another episode of Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. How memories are created, legends are made. Derek, always great to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me.
You and I kind of did this show yesterday. We were standing in the hallway and we did about 30 minutes where you answered a billion questions from me. So I'll probably ask some of the same ones today. But I want to start by letting you clear something up that we didn't have info on when we left the air yesterday. And that was Jay Jackson comes in. He's given unlimited time to warm up. The only reason that happens is health or physical ailment. What happened there in the ninth inning?
Yeah, so you have the ability, should a pitcher not be able to go, from a health standpoint, if you bring someone in from the bullpen, you get the time to warm up the next guy. That's obviously just for safety's sake, because if a guy gets hurt on the mound, you don't want to bring a guy in who's cold out in the bullpen and say, hey, throw five pitches and go, right? That's not good for anybody, and obviously dealing with injuries, you know, in pitching is something that we're all aware of. So in that situation, Rock went out between the innings and I think said that Jorge Alcala's bicep was kind of feeling tight and cramping up a little bit, which is the equivalent of he can't go. We feel good about him today. He was in there today. He's getting treatment. He's in a good spot. But that allowed us to then have Jay warm up and get a few more pitches rather than have to start the inning cold. And that's what transpired.
So the real takeaway here is good news, cramp, yeah. He's fine.
Yeah, good news. I mean, when you come out and anytime a young pitcher's pointing toward his arm or otherwise, you immediately just say, okay, you're not pitching, right? That you're not going back out there. Ultimately, probably a communication, you know, thing where it's like he's got a bicep, but things are tight. He came in today. He played catch. He feels much better.
All right, great news. No game today, but that is really good news for the Twins because Derek, and we'll get to where your team is right now in a bit, but the big story in baseball, honestly, is pitcher injuries right now. And it's awful for the game, and it's awful for these pitchers and for these teams. Bieber, obviously, a guy you've got a great relationship with. The youngster, Perez, for the Marlins. You know, Cole's on the IL. A lot of the veterans
on the IL.
Spencer Strider, probably done for the year as well. Pitching is kind of, I mean, you made this your life's work, understanding that nobody can figure out why pitchers get hurt or when they're going to get hurt, but you live in this world. Is there an overarching takeaway, or how do you progressively look forward knowing it's going to happen, it's going to be part of the game, but to protect yourself and your players?
Yeah, it's a great question. I wish we had a perfect solve for it. We don't, Chris, but I think that we are doing all we can to try and learn and study and figure it out. I think the overarching takeaway, and this is just reality for anyone who's watched baseball over the last decade, is we've seen, you know, an increase in velocity. We've seen an increase in quality of stuff. These pitchers train, you know, more and more and more toward that. They're trying to get outs, and big league hitters are good, and they're trying to find ways to get those outs, and ultimately it's putting more stress and strain there. And I know there's discussions about different ways that people think, or changes in the game that have led to some of these injuries, but I think the most significant impact here is the increase in velocity that these guys throw at now, and we're seeing the injuries as a result.
There's so many great minds who are focused on pitch development and pitch shaping and figuring out the best way to utilize these. Biomechanics are heavily involved more than ever before. But is there a road you can go down? And I'm sure everybody's tried to find this road already in terms of, I guess, maintenance, for lack of a better word. Because if you don't throw hard, you're not going to be in the big leagues. You're not going to get anybody out. and you're going to get fired if you hire a bunch of right. pitchers who throw 87.
Exactly.
So what is the answer then?
Yeah, I wish I had it. I wish I had the perfect answer, because I think you're exactly right, which is pitchers are getting on the mound and they're trying to get outs. And the best way to get outs now is to have good stuff and to have velocity and to have breaking balls. I think I read the other day that the lowest team's average fastball velocity in the big leagues right now is around 93. You know, that's much higher than it was even just a decade ago. So we are seeing more stress and strain. The thing I think that's hard to really articulate perfectly is everyone says, well, what can we do to prevent more of it? And is it training? Or, you know, can they get stronger? Those types of things. These aren't muscles we're talking about. These are ligaments. These are tendons. These are areas of the body that you don't necessarily strengthen by way of lifting more weights, right? That's not the idea. So ultimately, you're just putting a lot more stress and strain on those parts of your bodies, and you're seeing an increase in injuries as a result. And it's something we definitely as an industry are going to have to wrap our hands around.
Dr. Keith Beister came out and he was quoted as saying he feels that the tightness of the grip in a sweeper and some of the things with other pitches that, and he's employed by the Rangers, but works with players from around the league. And other people said, no, it's not that pitch. We don't have any data on that. So there's a lot of, I mean, everybody's got a different opinion, but there does not seem to be a consensus here.
Yeah, there are a lot of theories, right? And certainly it's good that really smart people who work in this space are spending time throwing out some of those theories to think about, to study, to listen, to learn more. We need that. We need that kind of discourse in order to figure out the answers and the solutions. But ultimately, from what we've gathered, as best we can tell, the most significant predictor so far that has some statistical backing is velocity. That increase is as clear as day. Any data you look at from the last 10 years, it goes up and up and up every year. That is clear. The moving of breaking balls, the changing of grips, that's always happened in our game. There's just a little less evidence that that's had the impact that velocity has had.
Is that terrifying to you then, knowing that you drafted David Fest to throw a 92 and now he's throwing 98, and Brock Stewart went from 92 to 98 and so on and so forth?
It's terrifying in the sense that you want to keep everyone healthy, but you also have to acknowledge, and this is just being as candid as possible, you have to acknowledge that the way outs get created in the big leagues from pitching is to have good stuff. Yep. And so, like you said, Chris, if you roll out guys with less stuff and you pitch that way, more likely than not, you're going to give up a lot more hits. You're going to give up a lot more runs. Yep. And the name of the game still is trying to keep them from scoring. And ultimately, the best way to do it is to have good pitchers with good stuff.
Yeah, it's a conundrum. And there are a lot of good pitchers, great pitchers, who are going to be lost for some stretch of time. And that's tough for the game, tough for them. But hopefully they get back. Another, I guess, benefit, the medical technology's come around that a guy like Chris Paddock can come back Tommy Johns and still pitch. We're just tip of the iceberg here. We're going to talk about the offense. Obviously, a cold start for your club here on a cold day in Minneapolis. We'll talk about that with Derek Falvey when we return to Inside Twins next on your home for Twins baseball. The show is Inside Twins, providing you a little Twins fix today with no Twins baseball in the offing. Twins back at it tomorrow. Dodgers in town for three. And I know it could be a little cold. I know you're probably going to be worn out from spending your day building up to watching the eclipse. But hey, this is a traveling three-ring circus, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Derek, we haven't seen a group with these personalities and these types of track records in a while. And it's going to be fun to have them in town. We get them early in the year, but I would encourage everybody to come out and watch this show.
No doubt. No doubt. They are a tremendous team. Obviously, they've been for a long time. They've added to this offseason to the team that was already really good. It's a great team, and we're going to have our hands full over the next few days. But, you know, chance to see guys like Shohei Ohtani play, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, those are really, really good players. You know, they're going to be iconic players for this generation of baseball talent. So certainly a few games to come out and watch, and hopefully, you know, we do everything we can to be prepared to face them.
Yeah, they got to get your guys out too. You've got some pretty good players in your lineup. Right now, some guys struggling though. Offensively, that's the story. And there was an 0 for 18 with runners in scoring position, one big inning in Milwaukee. Now it's an 0 for 23. I know that you can look at all sorts of different statistical ways. I thought Rocco spoke beautifully on it in terms of timing and type of approach early in the year. What is your take on this?
Yeah, it's difficult. We feel the same way that everyone is watching it, right? You're trying to find a solution. I can tell you that, you know, last night after the game, even just with Rocco and some of our hitting guys and otherwise, they're the last people to leave. They're the first people here. We're all trying to figure this out on a daily basis. I think there have been some guys, some bright spots, some guys that are swinging the bat well, you know, certainly in Carlos Correa to start the year, Alex Kirilloff we've, you know, made a lot of. But some of our guys are starting off slow. And no question, we're trying to figure those things out. Some of it's timing, some of it's getting getting into a rhythm, and ultimately there are no excuses. We just need to figure out how to get the hitters back to where we know they can be, because they were last year. It wasn't that long ago that a lot of these guys were having a major impact on our offense, so we just need to get the ball rolling in the right direction.
Yeah, and slow start last year, and then really jump-started when Eddie showed up, and Kepler and Polanco in particular last year kind of got rolling, so we'll see if and when that button gets pushed. Bigger picture, offensive philosophy, because it comes up when Cleveland's around.
Sure.
Because like Kansas City before them, they kind of go about it philosophically different than other teams do. Now, it doesn't always work. That needs to be mentioned. Like, this is not a cure-all to make a ton of contact. They didn't strike out at all last year, and they scored, like, no runs.
Right,
but
exactly.
Every team has a philosophy. Mm-hmm. How do you come about that? When you arrived, did you look at who was here and say, this is how we want to build an offense? Or did you say, theoretically, we want to build an offense that plays like this?
Yeah, I think, no, there wasn't a specific we needed to play one certain way, except for the fact that we know that to win games at the big league level, you have to hit for some power. It's just, or to score runs, I should say, not just to win games ultimately, but to be an offensive team that can contribute the run scoring you need to win, certainly not just in the regular season, but in the postseason, it's even more impacted that you need to have guys that can drive the ball. And we have some of that. We've never hunted to try and just have guys that strike out as much as some of our guys have along the way, I promise that. But you have to evaluate the personnel you have, and you have to adapt to it. And I think Cleveland ultimately has adapted some of their personnel. They're trying to kind of maybe skew the other way a little bit more.
Yeah, they literally have come out and say, we want to strike out more.
They've said that. They've said they want to strike out more and gain power. We've actually said the opposite. We want to make sure that we get a little bit more contact in the lineup, but ultimately, you know, retain the power that we can, but certainly make more bat-to-ball quality. So you have to evaluate the group that you have and try and put them in the best positions to be successful. The worst thing you can do is say, hey, this hitter who doesn't have any of these profile traits, try and become a totally different hitter. That doesn't work. So we want to make sure that the group is as balanced as possible. And I still believe this group, much like last year, when it's coming, when it's hitting, you know, this is a 7-game stretch. It happens to be our first 7. But if that 7 happens in the middle of July, we look at it a little differently. So we just have to be patient, but not so patient that we rest, because we've got to figure out what are the solutions to get guys going.
We talked about it with pitching, and the white whale is health. With hitting, is it possible to have both? Can you have power without striking out a bunch with guys at third and less than 2 outs to get it?
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's what you're looking for. You're trying to find
Everybody's
the right balance.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there have been some of the best offenses in baseball have dealt with these same struggles over the last handful of years, of which we've been at different times. We've had great offenses over the course of the last handful of years. We've had some challenging moments, too, with those offenses. So we just need to figure out a way to make sure that we get as much consistency out of the group as possible. And we need a few guys toward the back end of the lineup to step up, as you just mentioned.
When you guys evaluate, like, at the end of a year and the sample size is bigger, and you say, okay, the teams that win, their OPS plus was this, or
exactly,
their runs created was this, do you go back and parse it by, okay, but we were scoring 10 runs and then 009. Do you break it all down into those minutia?
Absolutely. We look at it in terms of the sequencing of runs, how they got them, you know, batting average versus power versus getting on base. You know, we do have a team that even through our offensive struggles this year are still a top 10 walk team. Like, we have guys
10
that
free
can
base runners,
right, so we have the ability to kind of know the zone. You know that in the big leagues how important it is to swing at strikes, balls in the zone, because balls outside the zone that are hit are not hit for particularly good production. In the zone, when you swing at them, good things happen. So our guys know that. We need to have more consistency when the ball is in the zone and they're taking those swings, that we end up with good outcomes.
So much work goes on that no one ever sees, kind of in terms of trying to develop swings and whatnot. Now, there's a major difference between coaching a swing in the off season and getting the mechanics, and then game coaching and playing. But you guys have a lot of tools at your disposal. One of my favorites is this amazing machine. You can plug in the coordinates. I could say, I want Derek Falvey's slider from the Trinity game against Bowdoin in this year, and you can stand in and it feels like you're in that stadium and you can see that pitch. This year, for the first time, you can use that in game.
Yep.
That rule changed. How does your team use that, and do you believe this is the type of thing that is a difference maker?
Yeah, definitely. I think that if you look at what some examples of what we had over time, guys might be pregame be hitting against a pitcher and really hone in on maybe the slider from that one pitcher because they know they're going to get it a decent amount at the at-bat. And I know Ryan Jeffers last year actually had some success at different times kind of zoning up a certain type of pitch with a hit with a pitcher and then ultimately having a good outcome in that game and kind of relaying it back to that work. So what you're trying to do is just replicate real game conditions. One of the biggest challenges in baseball is that it's hard to go face Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom and otherwise on a regular basis. No one can replicate replicate what they do in a game. So we have machines now that try and throw pitches at harder speeds, not just a light, soft toss batting practice. Hopefully we'll make guys put guys in a better spot. In the second half of last year, we saw a lot of guys using that stuff pregame, at, you know, on off days, different times, and it really helped them, we thought, through the year, so we hope it'll help again this year.
What led to the league saying, okay, you can now use it in-game?
Yeah, I think the biggest question last year was, you know, we've obviously been very attentive to some of the changes around video and sign stealing and things that have happened historically. So they didn't want anything that was accessing kind of live data and feeds and video, and they wanted to just assess the technology and what it looked like. I think more and more teams are using this now, brought up a solution as to how to make this work but not have the risks associated with some of the other things that had come up over the last couple of years.
So somebody can't take a pitch a guy through last inning
exactly.
and go take a look
exactly,
at
right? Okay. You want to try and avoid some of those in-game questions that have happened over the course of the last handful of seasons with some places. So ultimately this was something that the league, they came up with a solution. It's good for the players, good for the game, good for the team.
All right. That's Derek Falvey. We're talking a little bit about offense. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got more with Derek Falvey. It's the Twins and Guardians postponed today until August. We'll be back and talk about what's coming up with the Dodgers and the state of this club next on your home for Twins baseball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Inside Twins. It's brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. How memories are created, legends are made. Derek Falvey in studio. We got a few minutes before we bid you adieu. And you've got a free Sunday because no baseball today. Again, split doubleheader August 9th, as it is going to be not good weather for baseball in downtown Minneapolis today. I hate to dwell on injuries, but I want to catch up because your top two prospects, both still sidelined. Walker Jenkins, boy, tough break for this kid. Comes back from the quad injury, makes a great play. What's it look like with now his hamstring?
Yeah, so obviously it's just we're talking a lot about injuries, but not just with Twins players, but across baseball, you know, as you just said at the front end of this. But it's unfortunate when you have a couple guys go down, certainly in the minor leagues too. Walker was tracking really well. First game of the year, made a great jumping catch in center field and kind of came down a little bit awkwardly. It's a low-grade hamstring strain, so that's good news. I mean, if there's low, medium, and high-grade strains in this space, and we've talked a lot about medium and high, this is more low. So ultimately, hopefully, we can get him back out there soon.
All right, so that's good news. Brooks Lee had a great camp. And then a little back spasms late in camp, still not playing. What is his status?
Yeah, so Brooks, you know, toward the end of camp, as you said, he played a good amount in spring training. He was feeling good, looking good, or otherwise. He ended up with a back strain, which was serious enough that we want to make sure that he is back to full strength and full health before he plays another game of baseball. Because the thing with backs, as is true in any sport, you definitely don't want to be chasing that through the course of the year. So he's going to have a little bit more time down here. We'll have a better sense for timeline coming back here soon. Excuse me.
Choked up just talking about him with his guy.
Well, yeah. When you're talking about some of your best guys, you want the good things to happen.
On the bright note, Caleb Thielbar threw here yesterday, threw a live, looked good, and Rocco intimated that he would probably be in a Saints uniform soon.
Yeah, I think that's our plan. You know, Caleb's been here the last couple of days. He's thrown the ball well. I think when I heard he came out of his outing and he said, I just wasn't sharp with my curveball, but he said absolutely nothing about his hamstring or otherwise, that's a good sign because that means that he's focused entirely on the pitching and not on the body. But he's tracking back in a good direction. Hopefully we'll get him on a rehab here this week.
And he's been throwing. He's had the hamstring, but he's been able to throw, which should help his rapid ramp up.
Yeah, when he had the original hamstring strain down in Fort Myers, excuse me, he came back and he was in a much better spot when he was coming back through, but he felt some tightness in one of his bullpens. But even with that, it wasn't a restrain or otherwise, he was able to continue to throw. So his arm feels good. He's in a good place there. We just need to get him back on the mound and get him sharp.
Justin Topa.
Justin Tope is also a little bit behind Caleb, just as we expected. The great news is his knee feels good. The tendonitis he was dealing with at the end of camp that he was pitching through at times, we've knocked that out to a point where he's feeling really good. Now we just got to get him back to throwing. So he's a little bit behind where Caleb is, but hopefully is tracking toward a rehab assignment in the subsequent week.
Baseball as a whole is about taking opportunities, and if there's a bright spot to not having Topa, Duran, Thielbar, I feel like the guys that are on your roster to start the year in the bullpen have seized those opportunities, whether it's Jay Jackson, who you knew was going to be a part of it, whether it's been a much-improved Cole Sands, whether it's been Jorge Alcala.
No doubt. Each of those guys, I think when I look at, you know, you start the season about a week and a half ago when we were talking about this, obviously you have Caleb Thielbar down, Joanne Duran's down, Justin Topa, you're thinking the bullpen's an area where you're going to be a little bit lighter. But those guys have stepped up. Those guys have really pitched well in the middle innings, which has allowed guys like Griffin Jacks and Brock Stewart and Steven Okert to pitch toward the back end of games. So hopefully when we get those guys back and they're at full strength, it'll only deepen the group that we already have.
Rotation-wise, Joe, I thought, made the one pitch he'd like back yesterday. Otherwise, it looked great. The stuff looks really live for Joe Ryan. Bailey, not so much in his first start. You just kind of toss that first one out and let him rip next?
Yeah, Bailey you talk about spring training and how guys feel coming out of it. I think most would have said Bailey was throwing the ball better than any of our starters in spring training. Stuff was good. It was crisp. So when you look at that game and you go back on it, you think, okay, just one of those outings that things aren't going well. He's tracking well. He feels good. He'll be ready to go tomorrow.
All right. It'll be great to see Bailey Ober on the mound against the Dodgers tomorrow night here at Target Field. Then we'll get Louis Varland and Chris Paddock, who also looked very sharp for the Twins early in this season. And Derek, it's just a matter of getting the bats join the party, and then we can start having some fun, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'll get those guys going. We know our offensive club, when it's clicking, is a good club, so we just need to get everyone online.
Are you excited to get into this phase next couple weeks where we finally get into a rhythm? Some night games, just play every day, no more of this kind of back and forth?
I do think that's something that is, you know, we talk about some of the challenges that have persisted so far. I do think playing every day is really important in baseball, and I think some of our guys need to get into that routine.
All right, well, we will get into it shortly. You've got a free Sunday with the family. Kind of. I'm
kind
sure
of.
Your
Half
phone will be ringing. So we'll turn you loose to get on out of here, and we'll catch up again down the road.
Thanks for having me on.
That's Derek Falvey. Some great insights there, and again, on a very complicated topics of pitching philosophies and health and keeping arms healthy, and obviously hitting. It's not as simple as just saying hit the ball here, hit the ball there, but kind of the where's and the why's and the how's as to getting the bats back on track in the big moments. And that opportunity comes starting tomorrow night, first of three, Twins and the Dodgers here at Target Field. And of course, we'll have Inside Twins for you again next Sunday, as we will every Sunday throughout this season. On behalf of Gino and Drew on the other side of the glass, for Derek Falvey, Chris Atterbury saying so long, stay dry, enjoy your Sunday right here on your home for Twins baseball.
You have been listening to Inside Twins, brought to you by Killebrew Root Beer, locally owned and operated. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.